I was reading about in the Walmart, and when I was in the Walmart, they had a little kiddies book there by John MacArthur. And he said, like the Kenneth Taylor book that I read many years ago, and I was very dissatisfied with it. Very much dissatisfied with the thing. It said that when Moses came off the mount, that God was very sad. No, God was very mad. Very angry. I couldn't believe that John MacArthur bought into this same thing. And he said, when you sin, that God is very sad. I see no Bible for that. Don't teach that in our Sunday school classes. Sadness is not an attribute of our God. Amen? He has love, He has mercy, He has grace. But my God is not sad. I don't believe that's an attribute of God at all. And then he went on about saying a little prayer, and there was no hell fire in the whole thing for little children. It did have about sin in there. But I thought to myself, and nothing about repentance. We are to turn from our sin, lest we go to a place called hell. We're going to be preaching this morning about 100 men or 102 men who instantly went to hell. Unless they had put faith in Jesus Christ, which is very unlikely. And they were soldiers. So this is quite applicable to us here at Fort Hood, is it not? We should be praying now for the safety of these different ones. Are they in Kuwait yet? One of them, we don't know about Brother Walton, so he might be coming down right now, so pray for his safety. And so, Brother Hurley, I don't know where in the world he is either. Colonel Hurley, pray for him. Brother Hurley, he's our brother and he's a colonel too. Hallelujah. No rank in the church. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, there is rank. Jesus is the commander in chief. Hallelujah. And we're all nothing but servants and water boys. Amen. But we need to realize the greatness of God in this matter. And we need to teach our children the right things. I was thinking all the thousands of dollars he's going to make on that book that's not doctrinally true. I mean, can you see God? What is there? Some problem here? Hello. Oh, okay. This is what they were all concerned about. Oh, for Brother, we're going to have a food and fellowship for Brother Williams coming back tonight. Okay. That's important. Amen. Amen. You're important. Amen, brothers. We'll stop the whole service for you. Amen. Amen. I'm so glad our brothers come back. And so we'll be having that time of Linda's providing, our daughter's providing some cake and or something, some desserts, and then some chips and some drink, I guess. You got to wash it down, too. Amen. And thank the Lord for His safe return from Korea. And we praise God for all these different ones. We're going to try to make sure that we do that. If they come back and then they get gone too quickly, we might not be able to do that on a given service. You know, if they're going to visit in-laws, relatives, and other ones and so forth, or they go on their second honeymoon and it takes longer than others. And we're for all that. Hello, we're for all that. When I left Brother Martin, who's helped us, and so many of his relatives came to the tent meeting. You know, I said, his wife's standing right there. I said, you make sure you do a lot of kissing now in the next few months that you're gone. We're not going to see you in 8 months. Listen, I encourage these married people that are married, right? Listen, you be sweet on your wife or husband, or you won't have a wife or husband. Hello? forsaking all other, keep thee only to her, so long as ye both shall live. Amen? Marriage is bringing people together. They two become one. Well, amen. And I told Mrs. Martin and Brother Martin, I said, I promote these good things. I'm not changing now either. Amen? Isn't it strange how the couples, before they get married, want to get together so much? Hello? And then when it's legal, and the devil gets in, and they're just the opposite. Well, get back to what you ought to be. Did you know the very word marriage means together? Put together? Hello? Okay. That's another sermon, and you all need it. Or I wouldn't be giving it. As John Winstead said, if God brings it up, I'm bringing it out. You won't find that in every church. Some pastors are afraid to offend anybody. I'm really afraid to offend God. Sometimes to be biblically true, you have to be positively negative. Seems like the fellow we're going to preach about, the prophet that we're going to preach about, the great prophet that we're going to preach about, he seemed to... Ahab said he had nothing good. He always prophesied evil to him. And then his son, Ahab's son, after Ahab's killed, his son felt the same way about Elijah. Well, he hadn't changed. His dress was the same. And his message was the same. If you're ungodly, you're getting nothing but evil from me. Nothing but that you're no good. He said, oh... He said, Elijah, you never preach anything good to me. That's what he told Jehoshaphat before he went out. Ahab drew a bow at a venture. God guided the arrow right there between the joints and the harness, and he held himself up at the place until the day went down. Then he died. The dogs came and licked the blood of Ahab. And it wasn't long until Jezebel was thrown down and they were eating her. That's why you ought to have a decent funeral, so the dogs don't dig you up. Hello? Say, that's not very pleasant. Well, I'd like a pretty strong coffin. I don't want any dogs digging me up and taking my arm off one way and my foot off the other way. Here's Pastor Harvey, part of Pastor Harvey. That's very disgraceful. In the Bible, it's very disgraceful when the birds of the air come and pick your eyeballs out. That's the death of the wicked. The death of the righteous should be buried. Honorably buried. When I was a baby Christian, I used to say, just put me in a pine box in the backyard and send all the money that would have gone for the casket to missionaries. Well, I had a good attitude in mind, but if you wanted to get that way, burn your body up. No, that's not Bible. You know, it's cheaper to get cremated, but it's unchristian. Cremation is not biblical. If a person gets burned up and they're a wonderful Christian, it doesn't change anything. Amen? But don't purposely get yourself cremated so you can leave more money to your relatives. It's honorable to have an honorable burial. That's the second message before the message, I guess. Brother, pray for Brother Garrison. And then pray for my dear wife. She's had to put up with me all these years. Brother Garrison said, I know what he's going to preach on Sunday. It's all he does in your trailer. Your trailer's full of preaching all over the wall, Brother Metcalf. It's almost like I came out of the womb preaching. So Brother Garrison said, oh, he said he's preaching to me all the time. I said, yes, I said, Brother Garrison, you're a pastor. You have a pastor's heart. Now get into a church. A lot of people don't have a pastor's heart. He went and picked the blind lady up and brought her to church.
A lot of pastors and preachers, not pastors, but preachers, they're too busy. Some pastors are too busy to go pick up the little old blind lady, too. I said, you've got a pastor's heart. Get back into a pastorate as fast as you can. Now, he loves to preach. He preached a wonderful message. But not everybody's a pastor. Some people would rather work with a computer than people. You can have your computers. Amen. I work with people. I love people. Man, I've got to tell you this and then I'll get in my message. What in the world? That music was very long this morning, Pastor. I don't know. Oh, how am I going to preach this fast? I might do it. I might shock you. I've got to tell you about a conversion down at the tent meeting. The first one really was Willie. And Willie was all... I met him in McDonald's. If you've never met Willie, you don't know what it's like to live. Here he is in McDonald's. Hey! I don't know what he was talking about. Anything. He's just vivacious. He's Spanish, but he knows English pretty well. And everything Willie does is exciting. He comes riding in on his bicycle. His wife is down in Mexico taking care of her mother who's in a wheelchair. So he goes down and he saw her the last 2 weekends. Went down on the bus to see his wife. I don't know why. Maybe they took his license away. He said, I don't drink anymore. Even before he got saved, he said that. But he thought he was a Christian. And so I said, well, come out to the meeting. He said, oh, I got a fella. I'll bring him out. His sister had already come to the meeting. Not saved yet. So he brings Cantu out. This big fella, 72 years old. I didn't know Cantu was that old. Big, heavy set fella. Used to be in the police department for 15 years in San Antonio. And so he brings Cantu out. I asked the fellows in the morning, give me everything on hellfire you can give me. I'm going to preach on everything I know about hellfire and brimstone tonight. They gave me a few little things and I preached it all, man. And who, Willie and Angie, his sister, came in. And Willie was his normal self. You know, hey, how you doing? Hey, just unbelievable. Nothing inward about Willie. Everything's outward. Angie is his sister. She liked, the first night she said, I like that Victory in Jesus song. So the next night they got her to sing it with Mrs. Snatterley. And then as she's going home from the meeting, she's going down to her house right down from the tent. I heard an old story. They could hear her all over the place. So I tell them, sing Victory in Jesus every night if Angie likes it. That's what I told them last night. Amen. It's a great song. And then Candu. Boy, he heard about hellfire that night. His name is Cantu. Joe Cantu. And he says, can do. I can do anything, he said. So, I reached over to him. I thought he was going to sink down and I didn't even mention, I don't think that it was a pit. But he thought he was going down, I'm sure, because the ground in the tent and those chairs go right down. I thought he was going to flip right over. So I'm standing there keeping his chair right. I mean, this guy must weigh. How much does he weigh? 250, 300. He's a big fella. And so I kept him up and then I helped him up, you know. I mean, his chair went almost all the way down. You've seen those metal chairs like that? Can you imagine the thing sinking all the way down? He's just about going over. And so I'm helping Cantu up for the singing. Oh, sat next to him. Then I put my arm around him at the invitation time. I said, Joe, I said, if you need to be saved, I'll be glad to show you how to be saved. Well, I didn't feel impressed to push him to go down to the altar. And so, later on, brother, they had a little birthday get-together for Benjamin. He was 20 years old, Benjamin Snatterley. They're going to stay another week, by the way, thank the Lord. And then the Raub's family's coming down, so y'all try to make it, if you can, this next weekend on Saturday, Friday or Saturday. It'd be great if y'all could come down there. We have a real
hoop-de-doo, and then we're going to start the church in the little restaurant of, what's her name? Marlene. And we got that all lined up to do that. So anyhow, getting back to Cantu, and here he is. And so afterwards, Brother Ben Garrison, who I was staying with, and he was sitting there, and Cantu, Joe says, what does this saved mean anyhow? And so Brother Garrison shows him. I told Brother Stoddard, I said, Brother Garrison, he's a good soul winner. He knows how to show him how to be saved. So I went back to the trailer and prayed, got on my knees and prayed for him. Show him how to be saved. Well, they said that when he got through, he says, well, I'm saved! Oh, you got to meet these people. They're unbelievable. This is some going to be some church down there. So what does he do? He comes in the next night, Cantu, Joe, and he's got a suit on. I said, where'd you get that suit? That's a nice suit. He said, I got it off a drunk. He just was joking. He didn't get it from the drunk. And so I grabbed his pen. I said, that looks like my pen. Oh, it is. I thought you got that from me. Took that from me. Some police officer you have been. We had a good time together. So what does he do the next morning, though? The next morning, he goes out, raining like crazy, and he takes Benjamin Stoddard with him, and he says, I've got a bunch of people that I want to witness to. Or he didn't say witness to. And then later, he takes them to three restaurants and buys them breakfast as well. Earlier, he'd say, Benjamin, you need to take care of the breakfast. Just joking around. These people are really something. So what does he do? One guy said, what are you doing? He said, I'm hunting. I'm going soul hunting. He'd never heard about soul winning yet, so he's going soul hunting. And he witnessed about 30-some people in three different restaurants. He knew where the guys were going to be. These are probably the big shots all over town, you know. And he told the one guy, he says, have you got Jesus yet? Well, you better get him. The guy said, no, I just had my truck stolen and all my tools. I can't talk to you about that right now. But Joe, get back with him. Anyhow, so, and Brother Ben Snodderly only told us that's about all I got out of it. I wanted to hear more of it. It must have been some morning. And so, by the way, Willie's going to be back on Sunday or Monday, so business will pick up. Put those two guys together going, oh, it will be something else. Excitement personified. All right, isn't it good to be saved? And boy, it's good to see young converts like that getting so excited. That will bring a bunch of people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Go and find somebody. That's the first thing you want to do. Isn't that right, Brandon? He went and got a guy and brought him Sunday night. Amen. When you get saved in the morning, you ought to go bring someone else in. Some of you have been saved so long you forgot about other people. You're so wrapped up in your own problems, you forget that people are going to burn forever in hell if you don't go and get them. Amen? Do you remember when you were all fired up and you wanted to go tell all your relatives how to be saved and bring them to church? Well, try it again. Get back to what you used to do and business will pick up in your soul. Amen? It'll be exciting. Oh, glory. I tell you, we need some excitement. Well, turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 1. 2 Kings chapter 1. Stand with me for a few moments, Lord willing. I'm not going to read it all because of time. But it's all worth your reading. It's the Word of God, so go home and read it. Read the whole chapter at home. What a blessing. Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab, and Azariah fell down through the lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, go inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron. You notice that's small G-O-D.
But our God is the capital G, O-D, Elohim. Inquire of Baalzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. But the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up and meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that ye go to inquire of Baalzebub, the king of Ekron? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And Elijah departed, and when the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, why are ye not turned back? And now turn back. And they said unto him, there came a man. Didn't say a woman. There came a man. What a great man, too. Thank you. There came a man up to meet us and said unto us, go turn again unto the king that sent you and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Baalzebub, the king of Ekron? Therefore, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? And they answered him, he was a hairy man, and girt with his girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. Let's have prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. Pray Thy blessing upon it. Help us, Lord, to get something good from this, Thy precious and holy Word this morning. If there's one without Christ, that they might, by the Holy Spirit, be arrested and brought to conviction and conversion and contrition, the new birth, regeneration, and find that it's by faith and not by works that a person is saved. And be saved today, as Brandon was last week, dear God, and as Cantu was last week. Within 2 days he was up witnessing to everybody in town. Oh God, fire us up. Get us out of our self and our own problems, and may we go to those that are really in worse shape than ourselves by far, for they know not Christ. Help us, we pray. Bless now this Thy Word, and we'll thank Thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I like what the great Matthew Henry, great Mr. Henry, says about Elijah. He that was clothed with the Spirit despised all rich and gay clothing. I was thinking of these pastors. One church that has 8 or 9 sports cars for their full-time workers. I want you to know, put it on record, that's an abomination. When churches like ours would like to have some nice minivans or large vans to go and pick people up, and they're riding around in a sports car. Jaguar, one of them. Shame on them! Shame on them to use God's money in such a fashion. It's wickedness! When here, Elijah, he despised the gay clothing. But he had the Spirit of God. What a great man Elijah was. What about Peter? They just wanted to come under the shadow of Peter, and they would be healed, they believed. What great power Paul and Peter and these others had. His message was such as he used to deliver to his father, to whom he never prophesied good but evil. We ought to thank God for nice clothing. But I'm telling you, some of our preachers, they're in $5,000 and $6,000 and $7,000 suits. I think it's a shame to have such good clothing when we could find something better to do with it, our money. I think you ought to look your best for the Lord. We better be careful how we use the money we have when there's people and God's servants, missionaries, sacrificing, don't even have enough. They could easily get food stamps because of the size of their families and everything else in their income. And people are going out and dressing like that. I think it's a shame. Some of our independent Baptist pastors, they dress too flashy. If Pastor Harvey thinks they're too flashy, they must be too flashy. Because my God's more careful and strict than I am, thank you. Amen? Here, the king, this is Ahab's son. Ahab was one of the most wicked kings, if not the most wicked, next to Manasseh, of all the kings of Israel. And he has no regard, like his father seemed to have no regard for the God of glory. So, it says the same thing about his son. Don't our sons go just the way we go at times? Azariah was like that. What a great name he has there. But Azariah fell down through the lattice in his upper chamber. His father had served for 22 years a wicked reign. Ahab. And now his son is as wicked or more wicked than he is, and he mistreats the prophets of God, just like his father Ahab. But he only lives 2 years. Right in his own home. He falls down through the lattice, and he's sick, and he calls, and he goes, and he sends some people to go to the false god of Ekron. Ekron is the same place of the place of the Philistines, if you look back there, where they went with the emrods and all that. And the house of God, when it was on a cart, and how it judged the people in Ekron. So he sends to the God of Ekron, and what in the world is his name but Beelzebub? That's the same one that mentioned. Say, you know, they're all satanic gods. For there is but one God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Three persons, but one God. Beelzebub is the God of the flies. So maybe what they were doing is sending, you know, maybe it was the humming. You know how flies hum? Make that noise? They hum? Greatly? Maybe they wanted to hear a humming. He thought he could find out from this false god, this demonic god, whether he die or he get off of his bed. He didn't know that the cure would be to get on your face before the God of glory instead of sending off to a false satanic god to go to the true God of Elijah. He sure knew how Elijah dressed. He said, "That's Elijah. By the way, the people know how you dress. You claim to be a Christian? They know if you dress immodestly, ladies. Hello? They know how you're dressed." They said, and by the way, you know the greatest man born of woman dressed the same way as Elijah? His name was John the Baptist. None greater born of woman than John. He didn't care about outward things. I know our wives, they want us to dress right and look nice and everything. But the truth of the matter is, and that's all right, that's fine. I'm glad that you want your daughters and your sons' mamas to look nice, and it's good. That's, God put it in your hearts, I believe, for your kids to, for you want them to look nice. I think they ought to look nice when they come to the house of God. Amen? Hello? I think you ought to come in your Sunday best. But the truth of the matter is, the important thing is, do you have the power of God on you, Preacher Harvey? Christian brother or sister, when you come in, do you come here and you're waiting for someone to come to the altar because you want to win some soul to Christ, and you found out because Pastor Harvey told you that one of the best places to win souls is at the altar? In church! At the invitation time! Some of you have a terrible problem leaving your problems at home. Leave your problems at home, so you can help someone else when you come to the house of God. You guys, leave your problems in the barracks. Amen? Come out here to have a good time and learn something from the Bible. Some of you are so gloomy. Boy, you don't know how to smile this morning. I want to get out there. Man, aren't you glad God saved Cantu last week? Aren't you glad that God's blessing? Man. I am. Willie, I can't wait to see Willie and Angie again. Sing Victory in Jesus. I'll sing it with her. Amen. I like to get around these new babies in Christ. When was the last time you led a soul to Christ recently? Amen. When was the last time you came out on soul winning visitation? I heard they had a pretty good group yesterday again, right? Thank you, Pastor Hammonds. I heard it from my wife, and we didn't get into it. She said there's a pretty good going out sowing, pretty good group going out sowing. Listen, I commend you for doing what's right. Amen. Let's get out and do some sowing. Let's get out and rescue the perishing. We sing about it from Fanny Crosby, but who are we rescuing? Some of us are so down in our doldrums and our discouragement, and our friends have left us or something, and we're all down. My best friend, Jesus, He never leaves me. Amen! Brother Martin was there and his wife, and they'd been so faithful to that meeting. I wanted to hug the brother. I didn't know whether to hug him or not. Thank God for him. You heard the story, didn't you, about the little girl? It's in order. The little girl, Mrs. Willis, who used to run our bus route. Mrs. Willis, a little girl came and said, I'm moving. She said, I'm going to move to another state. And so Mrs. Willis said, well, we're going to be praying for you and whatever. The little girl, she said, I'm going to leave. She said, I'm leaving. I will be leaving. And I'm not coming back. She said, well, oh, honey. Well, she said, at least you could cry. And then she did. She cried with her. But at least we could cry. At least we could care enough and be touched enough and love people enough. I just wanted to weep for Brother Martin and his family there. But what a blessed time. Faithful to all those times. Coming over at 10 in the morning to be there for the planning meeting. And he's got relatives all over the place. And there every night, and then holding other meetings, a couple meetings. And been there the whole month. At least we could cry. At least we could be moved with love and compassion. Some of us get so wrapped up in our own problems that we don't realize others have worse. By the way, here's what the king, he was so incensed when the men came back. He was so incensed that the prophet said, just go tell your king he's going to die. See, Elijah the Tishbite, God directed him. He was the same one that found Ahab in Naboth's vineyard and said, you've taken that which is not right, and had Naboth killed. The word of your wicked wife Jezebel. So here Elijah, he intercepts him. He says, go back and tell him he's not going to come down from his bed. He's going to die. Well, he didn't like the report. And then when he found out it was Elijah, he really didn't like it. He sends a captain up there with 50 men under them to go and get and apprehend and seize Elijah. And Elijah didn't feel like it was time to be seized. And he's up on the hill. 50 of them come up. and they said, "You come down." Sounds like Nehemiah. Come down to the valley of Ono. And Nehemiah says, "Oh no." He said, "I will not come down." But now, that's the same thing. Why? His position was high. He was to obey the great king, not this wicked, vile king who deserved to die. He was so wicked. So he stays up there and he says, "My God, and he commanded fire to come out of heaven and consumed all the 50 and their captain. They all got burned up." The word gets back there by somebody that all 50 and the captain got killed. Because God commanded fire out of heaven from Elijah. The God of Elijah. By the way, he had just commanded fire to come down on the sacrifice not long before this. Now he commands fire on these 51 men. 50 men and their captain. So, you know what, the king, you'd think this would motivate the king a little bit. Whoa. Elijah's got some power. No. He sends another. He sends up the second time. Sends another captain up there. And the second commander says, "You come down quickly, Elijah." And he said, and Elijah said, I'll send fire down and burn you up like the others. And the next 50 and their captain get consumed. Whoa. You think this would change the heart and that Azariah would get on his face and say, "There is a God in heaven, isn't there? Already killed 100 people. 102 people." No, he sends the third 50 up. Hard-hearted, wicked, as vile as his father or worse. No regard for the God of Elijah. But the captain, who knows as he's coming up the hill, if he doesn't see the 100 of them cooked by the fire from heaven. Maybe he'd almost have to go over their bodies. I don't know. Maybe he saw them. I don't know. But he decided it was not a very good idea to stand against the God of Elijah. And he comes up and he pleads for mercy for him and for his 50 men. He was still trying to obey the orders of his wicked king. But I'm sure that the king didn't say, "Go up there and plead for mercy." He was pleading for himself. And he said, "Please come down." And Elijah, and an angel talked to Elijah and said, "Go on down with him." He goes down there and he gives the king the word, "You're going to die." And they didn't touch him at all, because you're invincible until God's through with you. Amen? I'll tell you what. You better not mess with God, the God of Elijah, and you better not mess with the man of God either. What about those 42 little children that came out mocking the one that came after Elijah? "Go on up, old Baldy. Go on up, old Baldy." And two she-bears came out and killed 42 little children to prove that God is holy. God is holy. By the way, the prophet wouldn't come down at the command of the king because he had a greater command from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But then when he came and pleaded for mercy, our God is merciful if you come to him and to his prophets with the right attitude. And he was merciful to the extent he even went right down with them. Well, sure proves one thing. You don't have to dress in the newest clothes to have the power of God. Amen? Money doesn't affect God. He's great and greatly to be praised. Well, do you know Him this morning? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Do you fear God? This is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you know you ought to go soul winning, you don't go soul winning. To you it is sin. Hello? God impresses you to give gospel tracts out and you say, I'm not doing that anymore. The Lord speaks to your heart about coming to the right kind of a church that preaches the truth of God's Word. And you go to a church that is a compromising church and does not preach the whole counsel of God and put your money and your tithes and in your time into that church, shame on you. Shame on you. You can find a better church than this one in town. Go to it, fellas. But I don't believe you can find a better one. We've got some wonderful Christians in here. God has started this church. God's hands on this church. God supplies the needs of this church financially. Like no other church I've ever been in or pastored. God takes care. His church will go on. He doesn't need you, Preacher Harvey. He delights to use us, but He doesn't need us. He's so great. He says, if I ever needed anything, I wouldn't let you know about it. Amen? God has no needs. He desires and loves us and wants to use us. But He doesn't need us. No, no. We need Him. And we need Him more and more every day. We need Him more and more. And we want Him, as Brother Lightsey so often prays. Lord, we need You and we want You. Come and meet with us. Jesus, draw me near the cross. The truth of the matter is that there was a day when you were more on fire for God than now, then you're in need of coming up closer again. Hello? Maybe you've just backslidden a little bit from where you were. Some of you have never slid forward to begin with. You need to get saved. So many people trying to live a Christian life and you don't have Christ. I'm glad you're trying. We don't want any more immoral people around. We have enough around. Amen? We don't need any more people who want to disobey God's laws and have no regard for God. We don't need any more of those around. Amen? We have enough of those. But the truth of the matter is, you need to be saved. And if you can't take me to a time and a place when you got saved, I don't know if you're really saved. Because I can take you in my mind and tell you where I got saved at the age of 16, Central New York Baptist Camp. I got born again. I was a Methodist. And I got saved in August of 59. When did you get saved, young lady? Young man? You say, well, I think my mother said I got saved. I don't want to know when your mother said you got saved. I said, when did you get saved? Every mother wants to think her son got saved. Bless you, mothers. Amen? That's your heart, your tender heart. You wouldn't want to think of anybody not knowing God, dying and going to hell. Amen? Right? Sure. But God knows if you're truly born again. Why do you do the things you do? Maybe it's because you've never been born again. You've never been saved. Maybe that's why you don't read your Bible. That you don't pray. That you don't love to go to church. People have to drag you to church because you've maybe never been born again. And maybe you love to come to church and you're still not born again. Maybe you love to read the Bible, but you don't know the God of the Bible yet. All right? Are we there this morning? Are we together? Huh? If you're not saved, get saved. Now is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart like Azariah did. He had a great name too. Did you know that? He had a great name. But what a mess. What a mess. He didn't have the name Beelzebub. He had a great name. But he never came to know the God of heaven. He was lost like his father Ahab and had no regard for the prophet nor for the God of the prophet. May God help us. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed as we pray. Our Father and our God, we pray if there's one without Christ that they would see their need of the Lord Jesus. See that it's a gift of God. It's not of works. Of righteousness which we have done, it's by grace, through faith and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, like was spoken to the woman at the well and there in Ephesians. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. May they come to know the gift of God today. Work in their hearts. Work in our hearts. May we see Thy holiness May we be like that third captain and fall down and plead for mercy and grace and forgiveness and kindness and protection, and instead of the wrath of God, plead for the love of God and the mercy of God. For we're such a sinful people.